Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm Stacey Bellward, the host of the Connected Families Podcast. Welcome to our community. We are people committed to pursuing God's grace and truth for ourselves and then daily working to pass that grace and truth onto our children. I'm so glad that you are here today. Well, you know, as people of faith, our heart's great desire is that our children would follow Jesus. So it can really shake us up when we hear questions from our kids such as, why should we pray for grandma? She didn't get better last time. Well, it's true. Our children each have to decide for themselves whether they will trust Christ. Many of us have asked the question then, how should I respond if my child is already struggling with their faith? Today, I invited two guests onto the show. One, Bonnie Williams. She is a Connected Families certified parent coach and a mom. Also with us is Chad Hange. Chad is the Connected Families Director of Education and Equipping. He is over our coaching certification program and the newly launched partnership program. We're excited about that. You could actually tap through to our show notes and send a link with the partnership information to maybe your pastor or your preschool director or Christian school so that they might explore how all of our resources could support the families they work with. Well, without further ado, let's get on with the show. So Chad, welcome to the podcast again.
Thanks, Stacey. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you on again. And we have one of your Connected Families parent coaches with us, Bonnie Williams. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
We're glad to have you. You know, the topic that brings a lot of emotion in parents, and we're talking about the question of how to respond when our children are doubting in their faith. And Bonnie, we're just grateful for you to be here. And so I just want to start off the podcast today with you giving us a summary of the story of your family. And then we're going to jump into a conversation between the three of us where we're really walking through how do we as parents respond when our kids ask us questions that we take a big gulp when we hear them. So Bonnie, go ahead. Why don't you share your story?
Thanks, Stacey. Well, you know, I'm going to back up a little bit and just share a little bit of my story first. You know, I grew up as a missionary kid and a pastor's kid overseas for many years. And I was able to watch many kids of missionaries and pastors really struggle in their faith. And many of them walk away from their faith or really question so many things about the Lord. And that was hard. That was really hard to watch that. And so when I became a parent, I was so intentional about really doing all that I could, and my husband as well, just doing all that we could to be intentional in our parenting with our children, to family devotions and, you know, take them to Awana and take them to church and be faithful in that. But not only that, but to live authentically in our faith, to be open with the hard questions and to do those things that we hoped and prayed would set them on a path to help them embrace their faith. But we knew, we were not naive. We knew that those things would not be a guarantee to them embracing their faith. We knew that one day they would have to own their faith for themselves. And so, you know, as they grew up, we encouraged and they all trusted the Lord as their savior. We were thrilled for that. But you know, as kids get older and they become more independent, they, you know, begin to separate from their parents, which is what they should do. You know, that is a natural thing. They begin to question, you know, one of our kids, they did embrace their faith, but another one, they just began to question, didn't really want to go to church as much. And we tried to stay really safe emotionally and love them unconditionally. But, you know, that became a little bit difficult as they really started to question those things. And so we began to grapple with that. And, you know, what is that going to look like for our home? Because we'd always gone to church and we'd always taken them to church. And what does that look like in a Christian home? And so, you know, I have to say, Connected Families was just so helpful to me during those times. And I thought, what am I going to do with this now? I mean, not go to church? What is that? I mean, what are we going to do with that, right? Everybody goes to church in a Christian home. And so
they're going to see.
People are going to notice they're not with us. It's going to be embarrassing. What are we going to say, right? All those things. And so, you know, I thought of the course, arguing more wisdom, the power of questions. What a lifesaver. And so one day I just thought, you know what? I'm going to ask this child a curious question. And so the question was, I'm curious about what your thoughts are about God right now. And I am telling you, that question was just so powerful. And they just sat there quietly and thought about that question because, you know, they had not really opened up to me, even though I could see in their heart that they were beginning to become more distant to the Lord. They did not feel free to share with me about that. In that moment, I wasn't sure. I'm not sure about God right now. I'm not sure about his existence. I need to see evidence. And they really had some questions about God and their faith. And boy, was that a shock to me. I had not heard them verbalize those things before. And it was because of these curious questions that I was able to ask them. And they really opened up. And we had this powerful conversation. And I really believe it was because I was able to stay safe emotionally and love unconditionally. And they knew that I wasn't going to judge them or shame them for their responses. And I have to say, just so grateful for Connected Families and the tools that had been invested in me as a parent for that moment and for that day. Really, what I felt in that moment also, as that child just really crawled up in my lap and we wept together, was what they were saying was, Mom, can you help me feel safe today? Can you help me feel safe in a very uncertain world and a very uncertain time in my faith? And that was the message. And so we're sticking together. We're on a journey and the story isn't done being written. And I believe God will continue to pursue my children and continue to write their story.
We believe that with you, for sure. It could feel very unsafe for kids when they're young and they're starting to question what they know to be the faith fabric of the family.
Yes.
Yes.
And they feel bad. You know, my children are people pleasers, and they feel bad that they have not embraced the faith of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian parents have to be aware of that. If you have compliant children, they will feel guilt from that. They will. Yeah.
And I guess in some way, that guilt might be a little healthy. Like maybe the Holy Spirit could use that to say things aren't the way they should be, maybe. I don't know. But we do trust the Holy Spirit. He's working in that, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He can work through that to let them know that, my child, you're not where you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to the fold.
Mm-hmm.
But that's his job.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Well, Chad, I'd like to invite you into the conversation. I'd like to spend the rest of our time together just having a conversation around this and how parents can respond. And it just strikes me that possibly the number one place to start is our own anxiety. You know, Bonnie, as you told the story, it felt really peaceful, like you were in a very peaceful place, but I can't imagine that you were always there. So shoring up that foundation of what's going on in me, you know, how did you show up safe? Is, I think, let's start there in unpacking this story. Chad, do you have anything to add right there? And then we can unpack it more.
I think that the thing that stands out to me is Bonnie being aware and then asking the question. And there had to be some level of connectedness and relationship in order for a child to respond in that sort of way. Sometimes I think we believe as parents that if we open the door and we ask the question, that might somehow allow or cause a child to say, I'm really doubting or I'm really struggling. Actually, I think it's a relief to the child to be like, oh, somebody sees me. They're recognizing these kinds of things. And there are some people who come to faith and they don't doubt. They just believe and they have this faith that they just don't really doubt very much. But there are people Who doubt? And I think if we're afraid of doubts, we create a culture that says, don't ask questions. A lot of our kids are not wired that way. They ask questions. And if we're afraid to hear the questions they're asking, they'll go somewhere else and find answers. And so I think the thing that strikes me just about what you're talking about, Bonnie, is just the connected relationship in order to be able to jump into that, have the conversation, and feel comfortable enough for your child to express the real stuff, right? And you can't deal with things until you get to the real stuff. Like, what's the true and hard thing to say, but it needs to be said. So that just jumps out to me is creating that connected place to have that kind of conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to encourage parents, you know, if you want to have a connected relationship with your teenagers, it has to start when they're babies, and then when they're one, and then when they're two, and when they're three. It's never too late to start. If you're hearing this and saying, oh, it's too late, you know, they're 5 and 6, just start. Start with whatever age they are, because then they will want to listen to you and hopefully have a relationship with you when they're 16 and 17. If you want the right to be heard when they're older, it really needs to start building that foundation when they're younger. And it's hard. It's hard. Teenagers, you know, sometimes they don't think that parents have any good advice at all. But really invest in that relationship when they're younger, if possible. Yeah.
I can remember when my girls were little. And I remember one of the questions that they asked when they were young. I mean, I feel like it was 6 or 7, and it was the question that gives a gulp for a parent, right? It was, you know, let's pray for grandma because she's sick. And I remember the question was, well, we prayed last time and she didn't get better. So why should we do it now? Right? This is just 6-year-old doubting.
That's right.
6-year-old, 7-year-old doubting. And so that's kind of what you were just saying, buddy, right? Like, am I staying curious? Am I staying safe even when they're having this very natural question and they're young? So how do I respond in that moment? And I think, you know, it's doing what you've already modeled, Bonnie, but it's staying present, staying empathetic. Yeah, it does sound like that. I can remember it was during the same time she said, I took a vitamin, Mom. Why aren't I better?
There you go.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, we did it. It should happen. So even understanding the development of the stage, as far as faith, I think is important. But it got older too. It was, you know, can I trust God when I pray because I want to get on to this theater production? You know, I have an audition, or onto this sports team, or, you know, how do we respond to those things when kids are asking, you know, is God trustworthy? Because I didn't see him trustworthy to heal grandma before.
Yeah.
And those are heavy things that parents need to, I think, really think about how you want to answer that.
And I think our go-to many times as Christian parents is to get real preachy, sometimes, you know, judgmental and a little legalistic sometimes, and says, oh, you shouldn't doubt, and make them feel all guilty for asking these questions. And
right.
And what that does is just shut them down.
Yep.
And makes them not want to ask questions the next time. You know, how dare you ask that about God? Of course you should trust. And we just really shut down those whole curious question types of things. And that's the opposite, really, of what we should be doing. We should welcome those hard questions, because those are the things that are going to strengthen their faith.
Yeah.
Know why you believe what you believe. You know, that's what's building the foundations of their faith.
And empathy to me was just so important during those times and those conversations, like that. Yeah, it is hard. And I can understand how it didn't seem like grandma got better, but over time she got better. She doesn't have that anymore. It's harder when they have something that they are still sick from, maybe a chronic disease or something like that. But you're right. Then we go to the character of God, what we believe about the character of God and other places of his character where he is faithful. And these are hard conversations, aren't they?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts too, that whether our kids are 6 and 7 and 8 and asking questions that we're unsure of, or that maybe we just want to shut down, or there's evidence that maybe they're questioning some things, or whether they're, you know, teenagers or young adults and they've said, I'm done. I am over this stuff. That's your thing. I'm not doing it. Forget it. whatever it might be, and it won't be a surprise to anybody who's been around Connected Families for any length of time, but the question that we're asking before we get into what are we going to do here is really that foundational question of like, what's going on inside of me? Mm-hmm. What is happening here? And oftentimes our kids are asking the questions that maybe we've actually had, or we don't know the answer. And I think we've kind of been conditioned in a lot of ways to be the answer people. We know the answer and here it is. And when I don't know the answer, I get uncomfortable and I can easily want to shut the conversation down because I don't know what to say. And so I think there's a level of managing our own anxiety. Like, hold on here a second. What is going on with me that causes me to want to shut this down or get preachy, give the right answers, whatever it might be? And I think that's the discovery piece here that I think, Bonnie, even as you're talking and the story that you're relaying is like, okay, that's safe with me piece. This does not define me. Yeah. I am not defined by my child's doubts or by their unbelievable faith. I am defined by God. It's a settled issue, right? So my identity is secure here. And I think that's a really important piece for any parent who's hearing this and you're fearful about your kid's future. And we start to catastrophize that. It's like, oh man, if they don't believe now, then they're going to be. And we start borrowing trouble from tomorrow and the next year, rather than just staying where we're at. Hold on a second. What's going on? God, right? And taking a breath and being prayerful and not reactive, I think is so important here. So what's going on inside of me is great for parents of two-year-olds and great for parents of 22-year-olds and beyond. But I think that's an important piece that we want to start with here in this conversation.
You just took the words right out of my mouth, because I think the greatest anxiety for parents is, first of all, are they ever going to come back to their faith?
Yep.
You know, if you told me, you know, Bonnie, don't worry, in 6 months, everything's going to be fine. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm good. You know, but no parent knows. Yes. And so it's that worry of what is going to happen. And so it's really an opportunity for parents to grow their faith and trust in the Lord and realize this is not for me to control. Mm-hmm. This is not for me to control. And they are not my report card. We have done all that we can do. And have we been perfect? No. But we have done all that we can do to show our children that our faith is authentic and it's the most important thing. Being happy is not the most important thing. A job is not the most important thing. An authentic walk with Christ is the most important thing in our lives. And we wish with all of our hearts that you would want that too. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. And we're going to pray for you. And that's all that we can do. And they're mm-hmm. responsible for their choices. Just like the four messages, the fourth one, they're responsible for that choice. And we're going to trust God that he's going to chase after them and pursue them with his love and his grace and his mercy. But it's between he and them.
I love that, Bonnie, because to me, that's even the what's going on inside of me work is remembering God's role in this. That the Holy Spirit is the one who draws hearts to him.
Yes.
So that's God's job. Like my role, what I'm responsible for, is to grow my relationship with him, to receive God's grace and truth, mm-hmm. pass on God's grace and truth, to live mm-hmm. the authentic faith that I want to have in front of my kids, model it essentially.
Yeah.
I like that. And ultimately they will be responsible for deciding what they want to do, but I can't control that.
Yeah.
I appreciate Sean McDowell. He relays a story of having some doubt when he was 19 years old and his father, Josh McDowell, who's one of the, you know, the most influential apologists for the Christian faith in the 20th century. He told his dad, Josh McDowell, that he wasn't sure he believed in this Christian stuff anymore. His dad simply encouraged me to seek truth and wanted to be sure I knew his love for me was unconditional. He didn't freak out. He wasn't threatened. He simply gave me space to work through my doubts. And I think that he loved me unconditional, right? His love for me was unconditional. He didn't freak out. He wasn't threatened. If there's anybody I would expect to be threatened because of an identity, like, wait a second, the son of, you know, my son better believe. And if not, but it just shows again a foundation a recognition that God is the one who is in charge here, that it is not me, that this might be a little uncomfortable and it might be a little rocky. My faith doesn't need to be shaken by this pronouncement or this declaration that a child might give me.
I think he must have gone through the Connected Families coaching, Chad.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, certainly rooted, right, in an identity that wasn't shaken by his sins.
I think he did.
Yeah, you're safe with me. I think that message, and then the second message, your love no matter what, comes shining through too.
It does. It heard me.
I love you no matter what, unconditionally. That story, when I heard that, I'm like, what in the world? That is
so powerful.
Amazing.
Yes.
So good. And then to borrow something out of the Power of Questions online course, all of this means that as parents, we can play the long game. You mentioned not catastrophizing, Chad, right? Because that's what anxiety makes us want to do.
Yes.
And then get strong or respond the way, Bonnie, you had alluded to, you explained once, right? Like, no, we can't doubt. We can't, you know, it's, you can't think that way about God. God is good. Don't you know God is good? You know, we can hold all that back and push it down because we're playing the long game. We know the Holy Spirit is the one who draws. We know we're secure. And then we can come in with curious questions and we can be safe in the moment when our kids are questioning, no matter what age. We can empathize with them in the stage that they're in and really be listening to the Holy Spirit and how to respond and, you know, when to ask questions. I can remember the day one of my girls said to me, well, Mom, if I really am all in on this, do I have to study the Bible as much as you do? It was almost as if that was holding her back. Like, that's what she thought. Like, if I'm all in with God, I have to be, you know, this way that my mom's modeling. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like pausing and saying to her, you know what? Your journey with God is going to look totally different than with me. And that took a minute, right? Because I love the Bible and I wanted to say, oh yes, you'll love the word of God. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, you're going to love reading the Bible or it has to happen.
That's
nope,
right.
I didn't do that. And I really felt like that was the moment where I could tap into all this work that we've done and then ask the Holy Spirit how to respond. And that's, she swallowed and listened. You know, you can hear that pause that your kids do. This is a great conversation. I wonder if either of you just have any closing thought.
I have a verse that, you know, during this time, you know, as a parent, you kind of feel helpless because you obviously you can't control the situation. You can't make your child own their faith. The Lord just really led me to start praying scriptures over my kids. And then I felt like I was in control. The only control I have is to pray more. And that helped me feel more grounded and like I could do something, just pray scripture. And so the scripture that I love is from Ephesians 3, 18 to 19. It says, and just pray this for our kids. May they have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for them. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that they might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And it's really, isn't it, the love of God that's going to draw them? It's not the rules or the regulations or us badgering them or controlling them that's going to draw them. It's the love and the grace and the mercy of God that's going to bring them back to Him. And, you know, I just pray that whatever they're chasing after would pale in comparison to this deep love of God. They would desire to live near to Him and desire to live in relationship with Him. That's really my prayer for my children.
I love that, Bonnie. And I pray that too. And I also pray real spiritual warfare prayers over my kids and see that as really part of my role.
Yes.
To just cutting off the work of the enemy who does want to kill, steal, and destroy them.
Yes.
And so I try to put more energy or as much energy as I can into that, I would say.
That's right. And protection from that. And the temptations are everywhere, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good, mm-hmm. Stacey.
And I would add to that, the practice of fasting was something important for my wife and I as in certain situations in family life. It's like, all right, again, these aren't formulas. but they are things that we see in scripture that Jesus did, that he would expect that his disciples and followers would do as well. So fasting, I think, was an important part of even spiritual warfare. I appreciate the statement that is made in the book Sticky Faith from Kara Powell and Chap Clark that show that young people don't often abandon their faith solely because of doubt, but it is usually because of unexpressed doubt. Okay, that is kind of that corrosive to faith. And so inviting your kids to have conversations, where might they doubt? Open the door to conversations rather than try to keep those things sealed up, or somehow we need to defend God. It's like, well, here's the answer for that. Like, if we have all the answers all the time, which we don't, we can, can we be okay with a little bit of messy? We don't know. You know, all of the things, or why God does what he does. So I think that just a couple other maybe practical pieces here. Find people, if you're in this space, just find people who are supportive of you, who will walk with you. And I'm not talking about hundreds or, you know, or dozens or whatever, but who are the three or four or six people that really will join you in the struggle here and support you and encourage you and pray for your kids. And I also think it's not about throwing your kids under the bus. Well, see, we raised them right, but here they went and they did this sort of thing. It's like, no, I want to be protective of them. It's like, hey, they are in a place where they're exploring some things, and good for them, right? Because when they come back to faith, that will be a strengthened faith, because they can doubt, they can question, they can wonder. And, you know, so I think almost that hope-filled message that we can offer here, it's not over. The story's not written here. And then I think the last thing I'll say about this is that we recognize that sometimes we're grieving a loss. We had a hope and a dream and a desire, and suddenly it's like, oh, that hurts so badly. And I think we can just own that and say, this hurts, and I'm sad about where things have gone. I think there's just a being okay. We can be real. We can lament even before the Lord about those things. This is not what I had expected. And yet God is working. He's faithful. And I pray this regularly for people who have walked away from faith. It says in Luke 15:17, it's the story of the prodigal son. And it says, when he had come to his senses, he said, what am I doing here? My father treats his servants better than this. And so sometimes it's just, Lord, would you help this child come to their senses? There's a place there that we want to encourage each parent who's listening today. It is a hard spot if you have somebody who's walked away from faith that's close to you, in particular a child. It's a hard place, but God is right there with you. And he is not wringing his hands about this. Right? He has got a purpose and a plan. And so we would want to join you in praying for you and with you, that God would draw the hearts of our prodigal children, as our wandering children, back to himself.
Amen. Thanks for that, Chad.
Yes.
I wonder, Bonnie, would you mind closing us with a prayer that you just pray for all the parents who are listening to this, and no matter what age their kids are, their kids who are having some doubts, that you just pray for them right now?
Be happy to. Father, I just pray that you would take great delight in our children. I pray that you would rejoice over them with great singing. I pray that you would hold them fast. I pray, Father, that you would help us as parents to just be calm in our spirit, that you would help us to know that you are in control. As Chad said, you are not wringing your hands. You are not surprised by the events of this day or the events of tomorrow, but you, Father, are so in control. You want to draw near to our children. Your heart is for them. And Lord, we know that you are going to chase after them. God, would you just do a work in our homes today? Would you do a work first in our hearts? Would you help it start with us first? God, I'm so grateful that you are a God who sees us, a God who wants to be near us. You are a God who cares. You are a God that is powerful. And thank you, Father, that you are a God who can give us peace in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a struggle. So we commit our children to you today, and we're going to give you the glory and the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, for being with us today.
It's such a pleasure to be with both of you all today.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for tuning in today, friends. We are a listener-supported organization. Over 50,000 parents like you listen to the podcast every month. Would you help us bridge the gap? We are working to close a $100,000 gap so that we can end our fiscal year strong. Your individual donation this month will make a big impact as we work to equip and encourage families. Thank you for considering a generous donation. For more information about Connected Families, follow us on Instagram or Facebook or go to connectedfamilies.org. I will see you next time.